This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry today, and we have a lot on our plate today. We're going to start with what's been your standout moment of the year.
Brad from Louisville, my take on 2013 is my wife and I had our first baby. It was born prematurely, but it came through in the NICU after 3 weeks. Then baby was home for 4 days. I broke my ankle playing basketball after work. And after 6 weeks, it's still broken, but I was able to get back to work just in time for Christmas.
Our number is 8778-MY-TAKE to share the moment that stood out for you. Like Brad, it could be something personal, or you might pick something from the news that really resonated with you this year. But here's another standout moment from the year.
What kind of world will we live in if the United States of America sees a dictator brazenly violate international law with poison gas, and we choose to look the other way?
The president there asking the question in early September. And 3 months later, an answer can perhaps be found on the streets of Aleppo in northern Syria, where government forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad have been dropping not chemical weapons, but particularly deadly barrel bombs for more than a week now. The killing is indiscriminate, as many as 500 people dead, including dozens of children. In just a moment, we'll consider the calls from some that whatever the world thinks of Bashar al-Assad, the time has come to negotiate with him. First, Rhys Ehrlich has just returned from Damascus as a special correspondent for the Global Post. He's also the lead author on a series of special reports for the Global Post called The Land of Cain and Abel. He says the perceived stability of President Bashar al-Assad's regime is looking better to many Syrians, and if neither side is seen to be winning, then for the time being, that suits Assad just fine.
It's probably the best he can hope for at the moment because the rebels are strong militarily in the north of the country. Basically, they control a number of northern cities and then in the south as well. So it's really a contested fighting in the middle. Politically, he does have support among Christians and Alawites and other minorities who are convinced that the rebels are all extremists and that Assad offers the best hope for some kind of stable secular government, even if it is a dictatorship. The Sunni majority are very much opposed to Assad, and they form the basis for the recruitment for the rebels.
Now, you mentioned that the rebels hold a lot of territory in the north and in the south, and the makeup of the rebel ranks has become really troublesome for the United States. We're hearing more and more reports that it is, in fact, extremist groups, Islamist groups, Al-Qaeda-sympathizing groups that have really wrested influence from, for instance, the Free Syrian Army, and that they're the ones really running the show now on the rebel side.
Yes, there's no question that the extremist rebel groups have gotten stronger militarily. They don't necessarily have more popular support. In fact, when they do take over cities and impose their extremist view of Sharia law, they become quite unpopular. But they have the guns and they have the backing from Saudi Arabia and other wealthy Gulf states. It's very interesting. The U.S. was supposed to be arming and supporting moderate rebels, but once the guns and the material gets inside Syria, it can go in any of many directions. And some of the extremist groups are seen armed with U.S.-supplied weapons. They recently captured a depot chock full of U.S. vehicles and arms and ammunition that had been held by the Free Syrian Army, the so-called moderates. So on the ground, these extremist folks operating with the excuse of bringing Islam to the country are on the rise.
So as the United States then looks towards this conflict and the difficult situation on the rebel side, Rhys Ehrlich, what do you think is the best course for the United States right now? We've heard scarcely little from the White House and the State Department about Syria lately. And I guess from what you're describing, that makes sense. There's not a lot of good news to report or even any clear strategy here.
Well, they have a strategy. The problem is it hasn't worked. They tried the old strategy that supposedly worked in Iraq and Afghanistan, which is find a strong man who's pro-U.S., proclaim him a Democrat and the country an emerging democracy, and hope people go for it. Well, they couldn't find somebody who has a popular base in Syria. I think the best thing the U.S. can do is not interfere in Syria and urge other countries, including Saudi Arabia and Russia and others, to do the same. People of Syria have to settle this on their own. It's very complicated. It's probably not going to end anytime soon. but possible peace negotiations coming up in January might make some steps forward. The people of Syria have got to resolve this themselves.
At this point, Rees Ehrlich, the stated United States policy stated by the president himself several times is that no matter how this turns out, Bashar al-Assad must go. The president has said that almost verbatim. Is there a foreseeable outcome at this point where that's the case, where the war comes to an end and Assad is no longer president?
I think in the short run, that's highly unlikely. Assad has enough support within the military that he's going to stay in power. But there could be a sudden change. The rebels are strong militarily. Their people within the regime could decide that they want to survive without Assad and possibly make compromises with the rebels. And that's ultimately, there's got to be a political settlement, something along those lines.
Rees Ehrlich has just returned from Damascus as special correspondent for the Global Post, and he's lead author on a series of special reports for the Global Post called The Land of Cain and Abel. Rees, thank you.
Thank you.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.